And now it's time to chain fire freedom with Clover Tack Talk. Here's your host, Chris Dover.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Clover Tack Talk. Today we're going to be talking about something a little personal to me. We're going to be talking about the top five firearms that have influenced me, have shaped my opinions and perception and my growth into the hobby and the community that is firearms. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about clovertack.com. And you can hop on over to clovertack.com, and through the website there you can contact us directly, or you can click on any of the many social media links there. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Get access to the podcast on both iTunes and Podbean, etc. You can also check out the Clover Tack Thoughts blog. And while you're there, if you so choose, you can shop any one of a bunch of affiliates and sponsors that help support the channel here. So back to our main topic at hand. And before we really get into the list, I'd like to say that a couple of things. First of all, if you're listening to this on the YouTube replay, then by all means, I invite you to put your top five list down in the comments below, and let's discuss those. Everybody's list is personal, and there's personal reasons behind the firearms they choose, and that is no exception with my list today. And I want to kind of caveat the list by saying that these firearms are not necessarily the most expensive. They're not necessarily the most sought after. I know several other gun channels have done similar top five lists in the past, and a lot of times they do them just with pistols or just with rifles or just with shotguns. And mine contains pretty much a variety of firearms, and mainly long guns. And the reason for that is, growing up in rural East Texas, around a lot of hunting, a lot of being outdoors, most of what I was subject to growing up was long guns, was shotguns and rifles. So let's get into the list. And making number five on the list is a firearm that honestly I never had access to growing up, other than seeing it in multiple movies and TV shows. Very iconic pistol for the time. There in the 80s, just about any action movie you would see this pistol, and you see it a lot nowadays too. And that is the Beretta 92. Now, the Beretta 92 came on the scene in about 1976, and obviously it is a semi-automatic pistol chambered in 9mm. Now, my love of that particular firearm and the influence on me is not necessarily reserved just for the 92, but also the 96, which looks identical. Just that one is chambered in 40 caliber Smith & Wesson. And then most recently, I'm a semi-comic book fan, I guess you would say, and watching the TV show Arrow in the, I believe it's the number 5 series, the character Wild Dog there sports a pair of the fully automatic Beretta 93R pistols, which I have never seen in person, never fired, would absolutely love to do that one time. And I know very few people that have seen those. It would be very difficult, if it's even possible at all, to obtain such firearm as that. But very cool firearms, the Beretta, the 92-96 series. Now, number four on the list is one that intimidated me pretty much from the first time that I saw it. I was intrigued because it was just so darn cool. And this one, I can remember my father's gun cabinet growing up, and it having to be modified to even house this particular firearm. And that's the Marlin Model 55 Goose Gun. Now, that particular shotgun was built from 62 to 96. It is discontinued. And it was a bolt-action 12-gauge shotgun, only available in 12-gauge, and had a 3-inch chamber. And this shotgun impressed on me fairly quickly just because of the size, you know. It was a big, huge, honking gun. It being a bolt-action shotgun was a little different. You're used to the breakovers. Everybody's used to a pump and even a semi-automatic. But this was just a big, honking gun. And the pattern that it would put out with that shot was just insanely crazy because of the barrel length. Now, number three on the list is a very common rifle here in East Texas. I would say, I would venture a wild guess that I would say 80%, 75, maybe even 80% of rural households probably have one of these in their safe or their gun cabinet. If not this particular one, then one similar. And that is a Marlin Model 336, or some type of a variant. And Marlin introduced the 336 in about 1948. Early on, they were chambered. There was some various chamberings, not just the 30-30, but there was some various chamberings. And that, of course, is a tube-fed lever-action rifle. Now, here in East Texas, that's one that I have hunted with many, many times. Owned my own, kids grew up. Even my son hunted with it and was a pretty good shot when it came to deer hunting and things like that. He has actually shot deer on the run with my Marlin Model 336. So a very solid gun, not one for any type of range, but here in the Piney Woods of East Texas, we typically don't get a really long shot on any type of a game animal, and so that 30-30 cartridge does really well. Now, as we get moving on up the list here, number two is a firearm that I do not own. However, my father does, sitting in his safe right now, and this is iconic because this is one of the oldest firearms he has. Might actually be one of, if not the very first firearm he purchased himself. And if memory recalls, he did purchase his new many, many years ago. And that's the Remington Model 1100 shotgun. And the Remington Model 1100 is a semi-automatic shotgun. They started building those, Remington did, in about 1963. Chamberings were available in 12 gauge, 16 gauge, and 20 gauge. They're still in production today, and there's just like the Marlin 336s, there's many, many different variants of the 1100. They call them grades, and there's many different grades of them. But primarily, the more current production stuff that you see is only going to be 12 and 20 gauge. And the reason that this one has impressed on me so much is not because of what it is, and honestly, that's why I don't own one. I'm not a big shotgun guy anyway, and with the Model 1100, they're just so plentiful. It's fairly easy to get one if I wanted to get one, but other than possibly one day inheriting that one from my father, I don't know honestly that I would go out and buy that one, because I've got other shotguns that fill the needs that I currently have for a shotgun. But with him, and this being a shotgun that he's had for so long, this one particular shotgun has probably put more meat in the freezer than any other firearm I've ever seen from any other family member. For years and years, it has consistently put all types of meat in the freezer. So it was definitely a good purchase that he made back then. Definitely serves and has served and continues to serve a purpose for him, and is considered one of the best semi-automatic shotguns still out there today, even among some of the more more high-end stuff like your Franchis and your Benellis and your Berettas and things like that. And so finally we get to the number one firearm. And one thing that makes this firearm, actually I should say two things that make this firearm kind of unique and definitely puts it number one on the list. First of all, this is was my very first firearm that I ever owned myself. I always had use of my father's, my grandfather's firearms. I believe, if memory recalls, it's been many moons ago, that a couple of those were sort of given to me. It was understood that, you know, those were mine. This was actually one that, from the time it was brand new, it was mine, and no family member was actually involved in giving this to me. I actually won this, believe it or not, through a contest in school. And I can't remember now if it was FFA or if it was just an ag class, but I remember it was in junior high, and I think we had to sell things for a contest or something like that. And the first prize was a Marlin Model 60 little 22 rifle, which, if you're familiar, it is a two-bed semi-automatic 22 rifle. Now, Marlin started building these back in 1960, and they currently make them today. And like many others, there's lots of different variants. And that's where the second part of this story sort of comes into play, in that this is a firearm, one of very, very few that I've ever sold. And I was in my late teens, in my early 20s, had not yet reached the pinnacle of gun collecting and being an enthusiast as I am now, and ended up selling that firearm. And that's one of the reasons that I have sold very, very few over the course of my life. Is selling that first one, I almost instantly regretted it. The circumstances revolving circumstances surrounding, I should say, how I sold it, why I sold it, and that sort of thing. No possible way really of tracking it down or ever getting it back. I was stupid. I don't even have the serial numbers, and so I couldn't even begin to try to track it down and get it back. So I had to come to terms with the fact that was a stupid move. Should have kept my very first rifle, and it's probably gone forever. The saving grace, so to speak, and a mission that I've been on pretty much ever since selling that first Marlin Model 60 I had, was in collecting some of the different variants and all of the Marlin Model 60. And that's another thing that feel free to contact us about. I'd love to talk to you about some of the special models that you might have in that Marlin Model 60. But they made a lot of, they call them limited edition models, where they put medallions in the stocks. And I'm really big on collecting those. I've got a couple of complete collections, and then I've got several different collections that are missing a few. I couldn't tell you offhand exactly how many Marlin Model 60s I have because of all the different variants, but it is definitely quite a few. My goal is that hopefully before I die, I can complete all of the special editions and then maybe build some kind of huge display case to put them in, that sort of thing. Because even though they say limited edition, at the end of the day, they're just a Marlin Model 60 rifle, which can be had new for less than $200. Now, granted, the new ones are not near as good as the older ones, but still, in a used rifle, even with the medallion, you're not looking at a high dollar item. But when it's a case such as mine, where I've got an entire collection of them, be it the rifles that were sold by Otasco or Big Five or maybe Coast to Coast, then as a collection, they might bring a little more money if one was to go off and sell them. But as I said earlier, the whole reason that I went on the crusade was guilt mainly from selling the first one in the first place. So the odds of them going anywhere are really, really slim. So really interesting story behind my number one pick there. And you can see because of that, obviously why that is my number one pick. So again, I invite you to let us know what five firearms have influenced you the most growing up and in your past and while you were getting into, so to speak, firearms. So that's all the time we have for today. I want to remind you again to go check out clovertac.com. That's the easiest way to check out all the material that we have available for you to listen to, like I said, to purchase through various affiliates and sponsors, and the easiest way to get in touch with us, whatever the medium might be. So until next time, guys, y'all be safe. We'll see you on the other side. Y'all have a good one. Bye.